Luke chapter 5 this evening. We'll begin reading there in verse 1. Luke 5. And let's stand together one more time, please, as I begin to read. If you follow along there in your place. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, and which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray for your help tonight. Again, we are needy people. We're very thankful, Lord, for what you've done up to this point in our lives. But, Father, we need more from you because we cannot make it except you strengthen us and give us, Lord, your grace and feed us, Lord, tonight with precious bread of life. Father, I pray that as we come to this time of the service, that our hearts would be quiet, that our minds would be quiet, and Lord, that our ears would be open to what the Spirit hath to say. Fill me, please, with your Spirit. Give liberty in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to talk to you for a few minutes here from Luke chapter 5 about the launching out into the deep. We are living, obviously, and we are facing a new Christmas season, and we are facing a new time of holidays, if you will, and we're all hustle bustle about with Christmas shopping and different things like that. But what I want you to understand is that there must always be a coming home, if you will, to the fact that God wants from us as His children to always be growing and moving forward in our lives as Christians. What we have here, and just briefly putting it here, is we have Jesus working His power in the lives of His disciples. What we have here is Jesus working His, it's not magic, okay? It's power. It's His desire, His will in the lives of His disciples. They were, they had been fishing all night. The Bible says here in verse 5, Simon, this being Peter, of course, told him, Master Jesus, we have toiled all the night. And listen, what he's saying and what I want you to think about first of all tonight is the fact that when we are busy without Jesus, we are going to come up empty-handed every time. These men were fishermen. These men were not rookies. They were not new to the area of fishing. They were not new to this lake. This is something that their ships were there. Their ships were there, and they had been out on this lake all night. But they were not going home this morning with anything but empty hands. And so Jesus came along, and the Bible says that they were pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. There was a crowd that wanted to hear more of the Bible. There was a time where, listen, there was a time where people were hungry for the Word of God. There's still a few of those today, and I thank God you're here tonight on a Sunday night, and there's a reason for it. You want to hear from God. You want to hear from the Word of God. And I pray tonight that as we get into this message that you will hear from the Word of God. But listen, you're going to have to understand, they pressed upon him. They came to him, and they would not let him go away until they heard from the Word of God. They heard from God. When you come to church tonight, listen to me, when you come to church every time, you ought to press in your spirit to want to hear from God. What a waste of time if you just come and sit and sing a couple songs and hear from me and go home. That ain't going to help you. It's not going to help you. You can do that anywhere. You can go to a restaurant and hear from a waiter. Hello, may I help you? Would you like iced tea? Would you like some more tea? Would you like some more water? And you could sit there and you could sing Glory Hallelujah, I suppose, and you could hear from your waiter and go home, and you're never going to be any different. You'll just be a little fatter. But I'm talking about when we come to church, listen to me, just simple thoughts tonight, introduction. We come to church, we need to press in our spirits. We need to be pressing. Dear God, I need to hear from you. I remember many times when I was in Bible college and I was working a job and I wasn't able always to be with my family, and it was a very long 4.5 years, an extra half year because of, that's another story, but a long 4.5 years that I wasn't always where I wanted to be with my family. But I knew my wife when she was going to church, and I knew my wife when she was busy about her busy life, that she was pressing to hear from God every day. As a matter of fact, she still does that as we, every Saturday night, I usually come up here and I study and I pray and I finish making final preparations for the day on Sunday, but my family sits home, listen to me now, and my wife takes my children and they sit around the living room and they pray for God to bless the services on Sunday. You know why? Because they're pressing. They're pressing against God, saying, God, we don't want to just go to church tomorrow. We want to hear from you. We don't want to just go to church tomorrow, Lord. We want you to work in people's hearts. We don't want to just show up at church tomorrow. We want you to do something special. Can I say something to you? We ought to come to church with that attitude, pressing to hear from God. Pressing, desperate, they were pressing upon him to hear the Word of God. They weren't pressing upon him to hear what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear their word. They wanted to hear the Word of God. They wanted to hear from God. Do you come to church with that spirit, with that attitude? I think every Sunday ought to be the best Sunday yet. I think every Sunday ought to be the best Sunday yet. We go all out, don't we? And we prepare for big days. And it's okay to do that, to have, you know, try to get people in and visitors in and try to have a special day. But I think we ought to stop for a second and realize every Sunday is the Lord's day. Every day is God's day. But we ought to come to church every Sunday, pressing in our spirits to hear from the Word of God. This is the best day. I'm going to get something from God today. I'm going to hear from God today. Something I've never heard. God's going to help me today, and I'm going to stay here. I'm going to press upon Him until He speaks to me. Amen. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. You take one step toward Him, and He takes one step toward you. That's how God works. He wants us to be pressing all the time, pressing in every day, pressing every Sunday, especially come to the house of God. And that's how these people were. They were pressing against Jesus to hear from the Word of God. So he saw two ships standing. He realized, if I don't do something, these people are going to push me in the lake. They're going to push me in the lake because the crowd just kept coming and they just kept getting closer and closer. By the way, there's nothing wrong with sitting up front. There's nothing wrong with sitting up front in church. We say, preacher, you get too loud and you get down there and you step on our toes. Not physically. If you were sitting here, I might be a little bit further back. But they were pressing upon him. They weren't worried about getting too close. I'm just shotgunning tonight, but praise the Lord for it. They weren't worried about getting too close. They wanted to hear the Word of God clearly. They wanted to know everything that was said. They wanted to see the preacher sweat. And man, they wanted to hear it. They wanted to, I'm not going to say anything else. Let's just leave it at that. But they didn't worry about getting too close. Amen. They were pressing upon Him physically, literally. They wanted to hear from the Word of God. They wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to be close to Him. Amen. Is that our spirit? Is that our attitude? Amazing Grace Baptist Church. If it is, it'll cause things to happen. Can I say that? This is what caused everything to begin in motion in this chapter. These people pressing upon Jesus to hear the Word of God. Jesus, I'm not going to let you go until I hear more of the Word of God. You see, this was the starting point to everything that happened in this chapter from this point on. What has happened in your life lately that you can look back on and say, God has done something special? Can you look back in your life? I know Amber can. I just got saved. I just got baptized. Amen. I just got, Kamari just got a healthy surgery and he's back healing. And I just got my headlight fixed. Amen. But really, everything that goes on in our lives, is God working? Is God orchestrating things? But do you have anything that you can look back on recently and say, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for me. And listen, I'm going to keep pressing because I know He can do more. Because I want Him to do more. I mean, Ethan, man, what a blessing. He's in church tonight without his brother. So it's not just his brother Joshua saying, you're going to go to church or else. No, he's here by himself. And he's got a tie on. He looks good. You know why? Because he's pressing. He said, I want to get more. I want to get more out of this. I'm going to get more out of God. I want to be closer to Jesus. I want to be closer. I want to get more of the Word of God. And you know why? Because he's already seen God change his life. He's already seen God save his soul. He's excited about what's coming next. Amen. See, these folks that were pressing against Jesus this day, they didn't know what was going to happen. But this started the whole ball rolling. Jesus responded. He turned around. He saw two ships sitting in the lake in verse 2. And you know what he did? He saw that, you know what? Wait a minute. These are fishers. These are fishing boats. And they're empty. These fishing boats are empty. As a matter of fact, there's no more fishermen in them. They're cleaning their nets. They're about to go home. So as people were pressing on Jesus, listen to me now, don't miss this. He began to press back. He said, these folks are tired. They've been toiling all night. They're cleaning their nets. I know what they're about to do. They're about to go home. But I've got other plans. And he says to Simon, he says, Simon, I'm going to borrow your boat for a minute. Would you push off the shore just a little bit here? Because if you don't help me out here, these people are going to push me in the water. Of course, he could have just walked on the water. But listen to me now. He's getting Simon involved. He's getting his disciples involved in what he's about to do. God is always working in your life, folks. He's getting Simon involved. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, in verse 3, and prayed him, asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, wait a minute. The word prayed means asked. He said, Simon, would you thrust out a little from the land? He did not make him. He simply said, Simon, I want you to do this for me. Now, Peter had no problem thrusting out a little from the land. Are you with me? So Peter said, well, no, he probably thought in his mind, okay, I'm tired. I've been out here all night fishing. We haven't caught anything. Okay, I'll go out a little ways. And so he did. And Jesus went out, sat down in Peter's boat, and began preaching to the, or teaching and preaching the word of God to the people on the shore. Now wait a minute. Just stop right there for a minute and let me just throw in here a little, oh, by the way. That wasn't a soft-spoken little sissified message. You can't sit in a boat out on the water and preach to a huge crowd on the shore and speak like a little mouse. Are you listening to me? The Bible says that we as preachers need to lift up our voice like trumpets, amen, and let the truth be heard. Amen. Don't try to find the quietest church. Amen. Don't try to find the deadest church. Look for a church where the Word of God is being proclaimed and taught with authority because it's God's Word. And you need to hear it or else it's not going to do any good. And so Jesus was sitting out on that ship and he sat down and began to proclaim the Word of God to those people out of the ship. But then he finished his message. I don't know if he gave an invitation. That's irrelevant. He finished his message, but he was not done with his plan. He turned to Peter and he said, Peter, now it's your turn. Folks, listen to me. It's real easy to come to church and wonder what God's going to do with everybody else. It's real easy to come to church and wonder, I wonder how so-and-so is going to handle that message. I wonder how that's going to help so-and-so in their life. Oh boy, I sure hope they got that. I know this stuff in church, we don't have that problem. We better not. But the fact is, it's real easy to get comfortable. Listen to me now. Really get comfortable just to get in a routine, come to church, sit, listen, and go home and just hope that somebody else got helped. That's not doing you any good. But that's all Simon was doing. Simon said, okay, yeah, I'll let you use my boat. And while he's preaching, I believe Simon's probably over here. And then he starts to drool a little bit. And Jesus turns around and looks at him and says, so you think you're going to sleep through my preaching, do you? Okay, Simon, I've got a chore for you. Take this boat and launch out into the deep. Simon, it's time for me to get personally involved with you. It's time for you to hear from me. It's time for you to stop sleeping through church. It's time for you to stop sleeping through the preaching and the teaching. It's time for you, Peter, to understand that I've got a plan for you personally. Ben. He said, Peter, Simon, launch out into the deep. Now, Peter didn't say a word when he said, go out a little ways. He didn't say a word. I imagine he thought, but he didn't say a word. He just did it. This time, however, he says, Master. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school in verse 5. He said, Master, we've toiled all night. Listen to me, church. Peter's telling Jesus, Jesus, I can't do this. This ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. But, if you say so, I'll do it anyway. Now, you could look at Peter as a hero there. You could look at Peter as maybe, well, at thy word, I will do what you say. But the fact of the matter is, that's not really his attitude at all. He's saying, Jesus, we fought, we fished, we've toiled, we've worked, we've labored all night. We're tired. We want to go home. But if you say so, what I'll do is I'll go out here and I'll let down the net. You know what I'm going to do, Jesus? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to show you that this ain't going to work. I'm going to show you that we've already tried this. So we'll go out and launch out into the deep and let down our nets. Church, listen to me tonight. Sometimes Jesus doesn't seem to make sense. Can I say that to you with all sincerity, in all humility? It doesn't seem to make sense what He wants us to do. I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that. Or maybe you could even say, I've already tried that. I've already tried that. I've already been down that road. How many times did I drive around this city, down this road, before Brittany saw this building? And said, Dad, did you see that over there? I said, what? No, I didn't see that. There's a building for rent over there. No, there's not. You're just kidding, right? No, turn around, really, Dad. And there was. And here we are. But listen, how many times did I drive down that road? I wasn't even looking that day. Sometimes Jesus tells you to do something that doesn't make sense, like something that you can't physically do on your own, something you've already tried. Why would He do that? Because He's trying to prove to you that there's a difference between you doing it on your own and Him being with you while you do it. He said, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. Peter, or Simon, he called him, but this is Peter. He said, Simon, I want you to do something that that doesn't make any sense. And I want you not only to launch out into the deep, but I want you to let down your nets. I want you to go back to fishing. And this, I want you to do this, Peter, and I want you to do it right now. Even though you've been out there all night, I want you to do it right now. So they did it with the idea they were going to prove Jesus wrong. When they had done this in verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. That's what a draught means. That word draught just means a great catch, okay? A big catch of fish. They enclosed in their net a great multitude of fishes. Their net break. They broke their net. They called their other ship that was on the shore there. They beckoned to their partners to come out and to help them. And they filled both the ships so much that they began to sink with fish. Listen, where were those fish last night? They were out there. They were in the water. They just didn't get it in the net, did they? There's so much here, folks. Listen to me, but I simply want you to understand something. Jesus says to do it, whether it makes sense or not. It's because He wants you to do it. There's a reason for it. There's something that He wants done. He doesn't need to prove to you His power. What He's trying to do is show you sometimes your ignorance. And we all will agree, and we'd all say with a hearty amen, yes, God has all power. Yes, He does. I know that with God, all things are possible. And without God, I can do nothing. But through Christ, I can do all. I know all of that. But yet, when it comes time to do something that we don't understand, we hesitate. We balk at it. We just don't want to follow through with it because we still doubt it. God wants us to do some things that make no sense to our human minds, like walking around the walls of Jericho for 6 days and then 7 times on the seventh day, and then blow some trumpets and then shout, and listen to me, the walls came tumbling down. Why is that? Because they simply did what God said by faith. Didn't make any sense, Miss Ingrid. Didn't make any sense. What's the point? After all, I've tried that before. I've read my Bible before. I've tried that prayer stuff before. I've been to church before. I've tried soul winning before. Are you getting the point tonight? I've tried loving the unlovable. I've tried helping somebody that didn't appreciate it. I I've tried coming down to this altar and surrendering my life to Jesus, and yet I get up and I just seem like I'm still the same person. I've tried it, preacher. I've tried it, Lord. I come up empty-handed. And he says, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I'm tired. Do it again. I'm tired. I want to go home. Do it again. Keep doing it. The fish are out there. The fruit's out there. The lost souls are out there. I've been knocking doors in this town for 3 years now. And I just always, Lord, I'm not going to go mess with the college campuses. That's deep. That's the deep out there. That's the scary part out there, Lord. They're not interested in Jesus. They don't care about the Lord. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do it my way, Lord. All right, let's do it my way. I'm going to just by your faith, your grace, and your power, and by faith, we're going to grow the church until where we have enough people, and then we can start ministries around the college campuses once we have more people to go, and then we can reach those students. Well. Therefore, I had never won any college kids to Christ in this town in 3 years that I know of. I went out with Shelby earlier this week, last week I guess it is now, and I told you that a young lady named Brittany said, well, she was a senior, is a senior at TWU. And she was ready to be saved, Ethan. She was open to the gospel. She was in tears. She bowed her head and asked Christ to save her. And then with tears she said, she choked out the words, thank you. Thank you for coming today. And now every time I drive by TWU, I think, there's a seed in there now. There's a seed in there now. I don't know how God's going to grow that seed, but there's a heart in there now that's saved. There's a soul in there now that's been changed. I went to these apartments. I knew they were college apartments. I knew they were college kids. They're right by the campus. I mean, it's right there. There's apartments all over that place. And I was coming down the road to these apartments up here, up by the church, I thought. And lo and behold, when I drove by those apartments, I just knew I needed to pull into that parking lot. And launch out into the deep. I've tried before, Brother Ethan. I've tried to win those kids to Christ. I didn't see any hope. Now, that was only one fish. That was only one fish. That was only one soul. But let me just, I'm just trying to use this tonight to help you understand. Do it again. Keep doing what God says. Do it again. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to the Holy Spirit. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep putting on that tie, Brother Ethan. Keep doing what God says. Keep letting God be God. Keep going. And it's going to seem like it's getting deep sometimes, because it will. It will. But let me say something to you. The biggest fish are in the deep. The most fish are in the deep. I don't know, folks, I don't know how God does what He does. I just know that He's God. I don't know how God prepares people's hearts. He prepares their hearts through situations and circumstances and prayer and time. And listen, but she had been in school for 3 years. She was a senior now. And I don't know if she's ever going to come to church. I really think she was sincere. I'm going to keep trying. Amen. But listen to me. I'm just simply saying to you, just keep doing what God says. My wife gets frustrated. She says, nobody's getting saved. God just uses my feet. And listen to me, it ain't about using your feet. It's about doing what God says. Just keep doing what God says. It doesn't make any sense, preacher. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's listening. Keep doing what God says. How many times have I gone home from the church services? But when we gone home and gone to my house after Sunday night services and just said, forget it. Forget it. They're not listening. They don't get it. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Yeah. I'm human too. Especially in the early years, in the earlier years of this church, it's just been a tiring toil. Just like Simon. I'll go out a little bit, Lord. Okay, I'll do what you want me to do. Okay, hurry up, do what you're going to do, and then I'm going to go home. God wants us to launch out into the deep. Do what He says. Do things that don't make sense. Do you think this building was a shallow shore? This is the deep water out here. This town is the deep water. Those college universities, that's the deep water. Joel and Jesus getting saved, that's deep water. So what are we going to do? We're going to keep launching out. We're going to keep letting down the net. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep telling. We're going to keep preaching. And God will give the increase when He's ready. Amen. We're going to keep doing what He says to do. Brother Jeffrey and his family, Miss Tabitha's sick today. But my wife and the ladies in prayer meeting, they constantly praying. And when we had the anniversary service, they were praying over a list of names that God would bring to church and save and do something special in their hearts. And God didn't do anything with any of them except for Tabitha. Except for Tabitha. Now she got saved. Now all her kids are saved. Now they're all baptized. Now they're all faithful to church. Because my wife and those ladies back there in that corner, they just kept praying. Just kept doing what God said. Just kept doing what God said. Tired? Yes. Discouraged? Yes, sometimes. But they just kept doing what God said. Listen to me, ladies. You that don't have saved husbands, you that have men that are just not what they ought to be, keep praying. But preacher, I'm tired. Welcome to the crowd, amen. Join the crowd. Keep doing what God says. What does God say to do, Amber? He says to go to church, be faithful, read your Bible, pray, tell other people about the Lord, and keep doing it. It's going to get deeper. But preacher, it's getting deeper out here. I know, sister, I know. But out there in the deep is where you're going to see God do the big things. When is it going to happen? I don't know. But just keep doing what God says. Because it will happen. And if nothing else, you're learning how to trust Him. You're learning how to obey. You're learning how to live by faith. And like we said this morning, those tribulations are building patience and experience and then ultimately a hope and where you're able to help other people. But no matter what, just keep doing what God says. It doesn't make sense, preacher. I've already tried that. Nothing was out there. Just keep doing what God says. If you stop fishing, it makes no sense to stop fishing and then get mad at God because you're not catching anything. Are you listening to me? It makes no sense to stop fishing and then get mad at God because my nets are empty. You stop fishing. You stop praying. You stop going. You stop driving that van. Just keep driving that van. Just keep teaching that class. Keep raising those kids. Miss Amber, I don't care if anybody else ever helps you with those kids for another second in your life. Raise those kids in church. And you'll see God. Okay. Stay in church, young man. Your family ain't here, but you are. Keep doing what God says. You'll see God. Keep pressing. Keep pushing. See, what Jesus did is He pushed Simon to his limit and a little bit beyond. Why would God do that? Because I promise you, when they went home that day, like the scripture says, they were different people. Folks, we need to be changed. Are you listening to me? We need to be changed every day. We need to be changed. We don't need to stay the same, Miss Ingrid, do we? Amen. We need God to change us. To do some things in our hearts that only He can do. They beckon their partners, and by the way, look. When God does something this big, other people notice. That other ship knew that there was something going on. As a matter of fact, they had to go help them. Listen, that one ship was having revival, amen. And then other churches around got involved in that. They came and helped, and they about to sink too with all the fishes. They got involved. They saw that God was doing something. They saw that something was happening down there. Keep doing what God says. Keep praying, ladies. We men pray too, but you ladies, I don't know what the problem is, but there's no problem. We just keep praying. Yeah. Something about, yeah, they are a little bit closer, Brother Jeffrey. I think that maybe that's what it is. I tell you what, my wife's not in here. I don't know if she's listening or not. Probably not, but I think I'm recording. So she might be able to listen to it later, but yeah. Good point. Good point, brother. Let me write that down. I forgot what I was going to say. My wife has a closet that she goes into and prays. And it happens to be the same closet where my clothes hang. So I have to use that closet once in a while. And I tell you what, that woman just knows how to pray. I mean, I pray too. Don't get me wrong, but she just has I don't know how to describe it, a prayer life. When I pray with her, I just weep. Why do I weep? I don't know, because she just has such a tender heart. And I weep probably because mine's not tender enough. I don't know. But I just weep when I pray with her. And then it was my turn to pray. I got, oh, let me blow my nose first. She's a blessing. She is a woman who is a tremendous help to me. I couldn't be here. This church wouldn't be here if she wasn't helping me like she does. She doesn't get enough credit. I know it's God, but I just want to say that that woman and her prayer life and what she has done for me and our family, she just prays, keeps praying and keeps praying. You have to just keep getting out of bed and keep spending time with God. You just have to keep doing what God says. My wife says, she says, Lord, I would rather you take one of my children home before they disgrace you. Wow. She said, that's terrible. No, it's not. She just doesn't want her children to get on the wrong side of God. She doesn't want her children to become a disgrace to the name of Christ. She would rather they just go to heaven first. Well, is that wrong? No, that's not wrong. That's a heart that says, Lord, I want you to be glorified above all else. I want your name to be exalted and Jesus to be lifted up. And Lord, I don't want my kids to be dragged through the mud. So Lord, if they're going to get out and sin, just take them home. What kind of mother is that? That's a mother who loves her kids beyond all imagination. And just keeps doing what God says. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. But Lord, I've been there already. I'm tired. Do what God says. Keep doing it. I didn't see any results last night. I didn't see any results last week. Keep doing it. I didn't see any results last month. Keep doing it. Keep launching out. Keep letting down the nets. Do what God says. Verse 8 says, Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You know, we need to do that more often, don't we? Lord, I'm a sinful man. Lord, your power has humbled me greatly. When's the last time you saw yourself as a sinful man and just fell down at Jesus' knees? He was astonished, but all of this for one reason, folks. Verse 11. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I'm done tonight. What is it going to take? For you to forsake all and follow Jesus. If you don't keep doing what Jesus says, when it makes sense and when it doesn't make sense, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Pray without ceasing. Search the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Keep doing what God says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And so much the more when you see that day approaching. Keep doing what God says. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Keep doing what God says. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Keep doing what God says. Do what God says. And sooner or later, you'll see God work and do and show himself to you and be show himself mighty in the deep. But that's just the beginning. He turns to him and says, now you're going to go catch men. Now you're going to go catch men. Now I'm going to teach you to go fish for men. See, God used the physical to prepare them for the spiritual. God used the physical to prepare them for the spiritual. Do what God says. Overcome the flesh. Be faithful to obey. Let God be God. Be faithful. Do what you know is right. Over and over again. What's the key to blessings and Christian life? What's the key to the fullness of God's power and grace? Is faithfulness. Do what God says over and over and over. It's not working, preacher. Let me remind you that you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one that's gone through this life as a Christian. Folks, this book is proven. It's tried and it's proven. This works. Amen. This works. You can do it and do it again and do it again and you'll see this works. Or you can get disgruntled, discouraged, and lay it aside. And you'll see, nothing else works. Do what God says. You'll grow. Your family will get closer to God. You'll see God do things that you didn't ever imagine. 53 in Sunday school this morning, 64 last week, because we had some people out of town and sick. So, how did that happen, preacher? Many times, it was because my wife was praying, and I was simply doing what God told me to do. Showed up to preach, showed up to teach Sunday school, showed up to work every day. How do we get to 50? How do we push in 60 in Sunday school? How are we about to overgrow this building already? Because you show up for work every day. You do what God says. Tired? Yes, do it anyway. Discouraged? Do it anyway. Weary? Do it anyway. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless the simple thoughts tonight.